Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and they're on fire, and they're ready tonight. So we're happy to be on the line and to continue. Last week, we came from Hebrews chapter 12, and we were looking at the point of or the purpose of discipline. And God says that if we're sons, he disciplines us as sons. But if we're without discipline, he said, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. That's in verse 5 of chapter 12, when God comes to reprove us. And the purpose we found out last week is so that God can impart his righteousness and his holiness into us. That's the purpose of the discipline. We're supposed to be representatives. We're supposed to be the royal priesthood. And the royal priesthood means that we're the expression of God, okay, in the earth. So each of us have to be disciplined by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of the law of life that's at work in us, so that God can bring forth his righteousness where we outwardly act the part and his holiness where we're inwardly changed. And I'm getting some feedback on one of the lines. So righteousness is a result of an inward change, which is God's holiness, his holy nature in me. And as I submit to the new covenant way, which is the cross, which God will, through the redemption of Christ, terminate me, the old life, so that the new man can come forth in righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
This process takes place from the day that I give my life to Christ until the day I'm taken out of here or I die. And so we're going to see tonight, we're going to continue, I'm going to pick up with verse 12. Here, the whole book of Hebrews 12 is a warning to the New Testament or New Covenant believers. And as we stated before, they left out of Judaism, but persecution was used as a discipline by God to get them strengthened in the inward man. See, there's stuff in us, or our natural inclination is not to just follow God. When everything seems to be going good, we have a problem following God. But when chaos and turmoil comes, we tend to, for some reason, I heard somebody say, desperation brings about revelation. When we're desperate, when we burned up all our resources and have no other hope, it oftentimes leads us to God, and that gives us a revelation, you see? And so we don't naturally seek after God, and so therefore God uses the situations or circumstances in life to discipline us, to bring us up to his standard. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what verses 5 on down is talking about in chapter 12, and we went over that last week. So to be without discipline means that you are an illegitimate son, illegitimate child, and not a son of God. And we said before that we as parents, we don't let our kids go without discipline. Otherwise, we're not showing true love, because we don't want our kids to grow up thinking there's no danger, that they can do what they want to do, right? So God uses the discipline because he's trying to impart his holiness in us. And that's what it says in verse 10. So now we're going to continue, and he's continuing with the, as we said earlier, the whole chapter 12 is a warning to the believers not to be put out of the way. Now we compare this to a race, this Christian life to a race. When you look in Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's verse 17, it talks about us entering into the way. So when you see the way, the race, and then we'll see paths here in chapter 12, they're all referring to the same thing. But the way you notice the way, which is Christ, eventually becomes, when we give our life to Christ, it's the way, and it eventually becomes a race. And then it becomes paths. We're going to see this progression. The paths here, we'll see that we have to make straight way for the paths. And it's that we have to go back to God's new covenant way. the path that leads us back to Christ. And what happened with these believers here is that they were out of joint with the body. See, path leads us, the path that we encounter, which is equivalent to the way and the race, it should allow us to, see, we can't go off into curves when we're running this race and dealing with our walk. We can't go off into curves, for the children of Israel in the wilderness continued in circles. See, but the path has to be straight, and the straight way is Christ. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. So they needed to get those paths straight, because when we veer off into wrong doctrines, and you notice that these the people with the doctrine of Judaism were in their ear, and they were trying to push or pressure them to go back through persecution and martyrdom. These Hebrew Christians were willing to compromise, and this is why Paul had to come in and write this epistle. They were on the verge of saying, well, let us go. We can just go back. That's our family, and we can go back and hang out, you know, a Sunday here and participate in the old sacrifices and this and that. But what they were doing, they were compromising the new covenant way. And they were trying to obtain a temporary peace through compromise. And so this is, we're going to see this in a second. This is why the Apostle Paul was telling them, No, don't. When you compromise, all it is going to do make you lame, make you paralyzed and weak. Limbs of the body of Christ. You can't be connected to the true body if you're going to go back to tradition, religion that point to Christ in types and shadow, which is not the fulfillment. So the New Testament or New Covenant ministry is the fulfillment of Christ. It's the reality. They were going to go back to types and shadows, and this would have been devastating to these believers, because they would never go on to be connected with the body, the true body, which is submitted to the head. That makes sense?
Amen.
Amen. So let's start at any questions before we go further. Okay, we'll start at verse 12.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Okay, so here in verse 12, he said, therefore, set straight, I'm reading out the expanded Greek, the hands which hang down and paralyze knees. Okay? That set straight means set upright. So because they were contemplating going back, they were becoming weak. See, it's comparing the parts of the body, which also is in comparison to the parts, the body of Christ, the members of Christ, the body of Christ, okay? Members of the body. So when we set out to go a different way other than Christ, we become weak members. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Paralyzed at the knees, crooked hands that hang down instead of being uplifted. And verse 13 said, and make straight paths for your feet. Now, some people are weak in the ankles or weak in the feet. So if you have a path that's full of rocks and curves and this and that, the least little thing can come along and do what? If they're weak in the ankles and the feet, say that again.
Throw you off the path?
Yes. So the paths have to be set straight, has to be clear. Remember, Christ is our forerunner. He pioneered the way. He cut the path. That's why he says, I am the way, the hadas, the truth and the life, right? So Christ went before us. The path is clear, it's straight. But introducing tradition, doctrines, religion that's contrary to the New Covenant way creates different paths or curves, and it makes the way difficult. So if someone is weak because they've not experienced or understood the New Covenant ministry, and something is thrown in their path, it could cause them to stumble or become out of joint. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it says, and make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Let me read the notes so it can explain some of the wording here. It says, the Christian life is not a matter of theoretical doctrines for the mind to think about. It must consist of practical paths for our feet to walk on. All the sound, healthy doctrines in the Bible are paths that can be walked on. This is especially true with the book of Hebrews. First, this book ministers to us the highest and healthiest doctrines concerning Christ and his new covenant. Then, based on the proper doctrines that it shows us, it charges us to run the race and make straight paths for our feet. So the first section deals with doctrines, which are chapters 1 through chapter 10. And the second, which is from chapter 10, verse 19, to chapter 13, verse 25, deals with the race and the path. Now, when we were looking in verse 13, it says here, and make straight paths for your feet that what is lame may not be put out of joint. That word put out of joint means dislocated. So if the path, if we're teaching and preaching the people, and I'm not just talking about the people behind the pulpit, all of us as believers are preachers, should be preachers and teachers of the gospel. You have the leading ones, but it shouldn't just be, okay, you got the clergy and then the laity. That's not God's new covenant way. You, of course, God had the apostles as the leading apostles, but everyone, Paul encouraged everyone, be as he was. He was an apostle. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. He was all of the gifts, but he was the leading one. But each of us should follow in the, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Our faith in the cross will produce and cause us to be ministers of the new covenant way. See this? And we have to set the path straight, because there are a lot of our fellow sisters and brothers in Christ who are out of joint with the body, the true body of Christ. Saved, but they're not connected because they're out of joint. Am I making sense? They're out of joint because the paths have not been made straight. We've got, I think, Sister Kim, you mentioned last week how everybody had a different definition for holiness, right? It's because now, no, the paths weren't made, or not, it's not made straight. So everybody goes to what they think is right. So Christ is the one, if we're headed up under Christ, each of us, and God deals with us as sons, then he corrects the error in our lives because we've been pointed to the source. So each of us, the ministry of the new covenant, that's, we're responsible for this ministry of reconciliation. That's what Paul mentioned that he preached, I think it was in 1 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. If I'm not mistaken, he talked about the ministry of reconciliation, and he says, we've been called to that ministry. Well, while God was in Christ reconciling the world back to us, this is the new covenant ministry that we, you and I are a part of. So we get it twisted when we get into religion, and we become more loyal to people and their organizations and not Christ and his new covenant ministry. I've seen people where they want the loyalty to a man, and I talked about it before, you're a man and woman of God, and you're grateful for the gifts that God gives to the body. I'm not demeaning any of the gifts, but we can't lose sight of or the focus that Christ is the head. You see this? Paul said, who are we? He said, one plant, one water, but it's God that gives the increase. So we saw in the book of Corinthians how the Christians there were starting to uplift men and saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And this is the same spirit, is it exists today.
Yes.
And so what happens to the body? The body becomes ineffective because nobody's allowing this new covenant ministry, the process of it, to take place in them, because nobody has the correct path. People are out of joint. So we're just quoting doctrines and religion, but we're not experiencing Christ. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we experience Christ, the reality of the word becomes spirit and life to us, and it's not a question of, oh, is this doctrine right? Is that doctrine right? No, it becomes, you live it out. Y'all see what I'm saying? Because it's just, it's Christ, the resurrected life of Christ in each of us. And so because he's the head of each of our lives and we're submitted to him and his process of terminating so that the new life and the uplifted man can come forth, or the new man, then what happens is we'll be connected one to another. Now, a lot of times what happens is, just like these Hebrew Christians, you and I, while we're in religion, because we've all come out of some things, while we're in religion, we will realize God will work on us and cause us to see that our loyalty is to him and not to an organization and people and things. Okay? Yeah. So the oneness is a result of the spirit that flows in into all of us, just like electricity. We're not one or walk unity because we all have the same likes or dislikes. And that's why a lot of times people are unified based upon their likes or their differences, right? But our unity or oneness comes because of the spirit flowing through. And we don't want to break the bond of peace of that spirit, of the spirit of God who flows freely as we are submitted to the head and our faith is in Christ. So just like an electrical plant that houses the electricity that flows from the power plant to the houses, the one thing, the oneness is in the flow of the electricity. I may not have anything to do with the house next to me or across from me, but one thing we have in common is the flow of that electricity, right?
Mm-hmm.
See this? The one thing, this is where we mess up in church and organized church, we make oneness about our what we have alike or our different or the differences you have, you know, against this organization, you don't do this and you do that. See, we gather based upon our differences and become unified. But in Christ, the one thing that we all have in common is the flow that comes from the head of the Spirit of God that's in each believer. And as we're yielded and submitted to the head, God's, the energy of his spirit can do his work in us.
Yes.
But we got to get people to the correct path. We got to put them on the right path. So this is why it says, and make straight paths for your feet. So they were going to go back to Judaism, but he's saying, no, you got to go back to the new covenant way, or go stay under the new covenant way, despite what you're encountering. Trust God, because that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. So this is why I can look at you and you can look at me, and I don't base things upon your failures and your fault, because we're all being healed. As long as we're submitted and walking on the right path. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. So in Amen. Verse 14, any questions about that before we go further? Okay, let me make sure I got all the notes in here I wanted to bring out. It says, the implication of the context is that the staggering Hebrew believers should abandon all appearance of the practices of Judaism. This is making the path straight, that they, the lame members or limbs of the body, might not fall into apostasy, or in other words, might not be put out of joint, but rather be brought fully into the new covenant way. And this is the way to be healed. See, this is how God, this is what God has to do with the church today. This is what he was telling the churches in the book of Revelation. He was trying to tell them to get back to Christ and him crucified. Submit yourself back to your first love. Go back, be headed under Christ, so that his ministry, by way of the spirit that's in us, the divine life, can flow and heal and transform and conform us to the image of Christ. By them stopping and entertaining what they were encountering, it would stop the flow and the work of the Spirit and made them lame. paralyzed at the knees, feeble and weak. Y'all see this?
Amen.
Let's detour to, keep your finger there, and let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians 5. I may have two different people. One get one scripture and the other go to Galatians 5, and I have them, have two different people to read it so we can go through it quickly. So, Sister Cherry, you got Galatians 3, and can somebody pick up Galatians 5?
Okay.
And I just want to see, we're talking about apostasy. This is what causes us to become lame and out of joint with the body. So here, it's been happening all throughout Scripture. We see it in the book of Hebrews. We see it in the book of Galatians. We saw it also in the book of Ephesians, I think it was. But the point is, there is a work, as the same way that God is at work to accomplish his will, the enemy is at work to hinder it, okay? Mm-hmm. So in Galatians 3, let's start at verse 1, please.
O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth circumcised among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?
Okay. Now, jump down to verse 6, please.
6, okay. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
Okay, stop right there. Now, you see in verse 1, he calls them foolish Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
Because they began in the spirit, and then they were getting ready to jump back to the flesh. Why? Because someone, the Judaizers, had come in their ear, and these people were under Judaism, and they were trying to live law and grace. So they were telling these believers in Galatia that, yeah, you're saved, but you also need to keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be circumcised. So Paul says, Christ was evidently, I preached him as if he was evidently openly portrayed or crucified among you, right? And in verse 3, he said, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? This is what we were talking about earlier, trying to live a Christian life, but according to the natural man, according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He calls them foolish again, because you're leaving the right way and going back to a degraded way. Then he jumps over in verse 6, and he says, he's telling them what God recognized. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, he's saying this is the way God acknowledged and recognized Abraham's faith, not his works, not his efforts apart from faith.
Amen.
So he says, only those that are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the same thing. So this is why he can call us a son, because we're walking by faith in what his redemption plan accomplished on our behalf, right?
Mm-hmm.
Faith is what the believer walks by, because faith is what substantiates what we don't see. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, but the evidence, we don't see it, right?
Right.
So we need faith to substantiate when God says, trust me, this sickness is not unto death, but you're encountering a sickness, just like Job, and you see the boils, and you see all these things happening, the loss of your child, children, all these things, just calamity around you. You and I need faith in God's word and trust to endure. This helps us. Remember, we have to set the joy of the Lord before us, endure the calamity or the whatever the frustration is that we're going through, despising the shame. Because they're going to be ridiculed. They're going to call you a holy roller. They're going to say you're this and that. But knowing that God is working something far greater.
Amen.
He's transitioning me from naturally trying to, because look at Job's life. Job initially, he did everything according to the law. He even did sacrifices for his children in case they did sin. But it wasn't his natural goodness and his natural efforts that was going to get Job to where he needed to be. So Job had to patiently endure. And because of faith, it took faith, see? And it's going to take faith for these Hebrew Christians. They see the persecution and even the threat of being martyred, but they need to trust God and know that God is using this to discipline so that they can be partakers of his righteousness and holiness. You see this? We have stuff in us that we don't know exists, some deep things. This is why the word of God is sharp, powerful, quicker than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it works to bring forth the intent of the heart, the deep things that's there in our hearts and motives that we don't recognize. So God, because he's in us, light shines out of darkness. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, and he lighteth it and searcheth all throughout out of our hearts and lives. And remember, God wants to dwell, make his home. So in order to make his home, he says, be holy as I am holy. And because he's put his divine nature in us, the purpose of the divine nature is for us to partake of his holiness. And so God can settle down, not just in my spirit, but he has to permeate all of my spirit. And then my spirit is surrounded by my soul. So my mind, my will, and emotions have to be permeated so God can stretch out and make himself Lord over my entire being. Y'all see this?
Amen.
This is why we have to keep exhibiting faith. So as these Galatians and those Hebrews, the Christians in Galatia in the book of Hebrews, were trying to live out this life of faith, there were frustrations. There were things that were coming in to frustrate them, and they had to run the race looking away from it, looking to Jesus. See that?
Yeah.
So he says, those that are of faith, these are sons of Abraham. Keep going, please.
So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the work of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Now, notice it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Now, these Hebrew Christians were going back to the works of the law. These Christians in Galatia, because of the Judaizers, were going to go back to the curse, under the curse of the law. And they would have had to keep all of the laws without breaking them. It says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things written in the book of the law to do them. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So by going back, this is why they were putting themselves under a curse. They weren't going to be overcomers. They weren't going to partake in the ruling and reigning with Christ in the millennial. They were going to have to be disciplined so they could take the discipline now, be willing to lose their lives as they know it, or later on at the judgment seat when he says, depart from me, I know you not, because they never came to know him through experience and never gave up their life here on earth as they knew it, meaning that they were worldly Christians, carnal Christians, did what their so desired. And we're not willing to lose, be crucified, be terminated, so that the life of Christ could come forth. This is why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who? Christ, who lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the purpose. So we have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's keep going through verse 14, and then I'm going to jump to Galatians chapter 5, whoever has that one, verse 1 through 7.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed.
Okay, stop that. Stop 1 second right there. So it says, mm-hmm. You saw that? No one is justified before God if they're under mm-hmm. the law, by the law. The righteous one has to live, shall have life, and live by faith. That's what the expanded Greek says. The righteous one shall have life and live by faith. But the law is not of faith. So they were going back mm-hmm. under law, right? Going back to the old covenant would have put them back under law. And they would have had to continue in them without breaking it. And they would have been under the curse of the law. See this? This is why many are weak, many are sick in the body of Christ, and many die prematurely, because they are under the curse of the law. And so there is no life. There is no godliness. There is no overcoming power to overcome sin, self, the world, and Satan. So this is what Satan wants. This is why he promotes religion. This is why he promoted the Jewish tradition and doctrine, Judaism. Religion today is the same. It pulls people away from God's blessings under and in Christ. It puts people under the curse of the law. They have no power to overcome, so they're trapped. Look at the woman or the parents of the blind man. The blind man was being made free from religion and tradition, because he had an encounter with Christ. But the parents, and the scripture said it, when the Pharisees came to the parents and asked about his blindness from birth, they said, he's of age, ask him. And the Bible says, because they were afraid of being excommunicated. See this? They were under the curse of the law. They wanted to compromise by appeasing and pleasing men.
Amen.
They wouldn't come out of it. See what I'm saying? And today God is dealing with people to try to pull them out of the old covenant or the old traditions and rules and regulations, and he wants them in Christ as the head. Because why? He's building his church. We have to understand what church is. Church is not the normal gathering in a building. And, I mean, you would do that, but understand it is the gathering of the saints that have submitted to the head and are connected to accomplish the work or God's purposes and be his representative, so that God can express himself in and through them. Everybody that's saved is not allowing God's life to be expressed in and through them. It's only those that have submitted to this new covenant way, which terminates us in the natural, and it uplifts the fallen nature, the soul, the spirit, the soul, and the body through the death of Jesus Christ. See this? This is the resurrected life that Paul is talking about, the life that he lives in the flesh. He lives by the faith of the Son mm-hmm. of God, who loved him and gave himself for him. And it takes the circumstances in life for us to keep our focus on Christ and to run the race looking away from everything that distracts, looking to Jesus. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he tells us, and did you read 13, Sister Cherry, and we keep going?
No, not yet.
Okay, keep going there.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Now, see, remember we said how Christ trapped Satan? Satan, mm-hmm. through the fall was in man's flesh. He uses man's flesh. The fall, the body became the flesh so that the evil desires could be accomplished through fallen man. But Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh, not a sinner, but in the likeness of it, became, you see, it says, tells us here, Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become a curse on our behalf. That was the purpose of the serpent in the wilderness, the copper serpent or the brass serpent being lifted up on the pole when the people were bitten by the snakes. And they lifted up the brass serpent on the cross. They lifted it up. And everybody that looked was healed. That was the likeness. Christ came in the likeness of the sinful flesh. You see this?
Amen.
And became a curse. See, that's what that was all about. That's why Christ pointed Nicodemus to that. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. Because he became a curse. He took the sin of the world upon himself, and sin was judged in the flesh. That's why the veil of the temple was torn. That was his flesh when he died on the cross being torn so that he could bring the two together as one, the Gentiles and the Jews. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, cursed is everyone hanging on a tree. Keep going, verse 14.
That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
You see that? Christ had to become a curse so that he can break down that middle wall of partition and make the two one. And that was through his torn flesh, the veil. Amen? So now the Gentiles and the Jews come in the same way.
Amen.
And it is the promise of the Spirit through faith. We have to continue with faith. See that? We begin with faith and we continue running with faith. Now let's quickly, I don't even know how much time I got. Let me see. Okay, let's quickly go to Galatians 5. Any questions while we're going over to Galatians 5, whoever has that, verse 1 through 7.
I can read it. Verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing.
Okay, stop right there. Thank you, ma'am. So look at this. He says in the expanded Greek, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled with the yoke of slavery again. See, remember, Christ set us free, but Satan comes in even after we're saved, and he wants to continue to keep us in bondage to sin, bondage to self, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He wants to continue that, so he doesn't want us free, walking in freedom. It says, freedom from the slavery of the law, Christ has set us free through his redeeming death and life-imparting resurrection, that we may enjoy this freedom in grace. Stand fast in the freedom from the slavery of the law, not deviating from Christ, not falling from grace. You can be saved, yet fallen from grace. Okay? This is the whole point of this. These Hebrew Christians, this is why Paul came in stern, because they were saved, but they were going to go back to Judaism, which would have caused the grace of God to become of none effect. And we're going to see in verse 15 that they still needed God's grace. Grace is God in us doing everything for us. It's God dispensing his life in the believer. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it is his life and his energy at work. And as I yield and allow his process of termination to take place in me, his life can come forth in difficult moments and situations. You will look and respond and act a certain way, whereas in times past, you probably would have just blew your lid, went off, did whatever. But circumstances, because of walking by faith, looking to Jesus, walking day by day, going forward or running the race, things start falling off the old things.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I will desire more of Christ and not the titles, the positions, the pat on the back, the will of man. It'll be the will of God that we pursue. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so here the Judaizers, again, was trying to get them to go and add circumcision to their salvation. Here we go. Adding an Old Testament law, trying to put them back under the curse after they've been made free in Christ. That's why he says, stand fast. Remain in Christ's freedom. Don't let nobody put a yoke of bondage on you, and you come in there and they're trying to tell you, oh, you ain't truly saved unless
mm-hmm.
You're not a member of a church. You ain't right. Somebody told me one time I was in going through some kind of sickness. I can't remember, but I had been out of church or whatever, and I said I was sick, and they said, well, if you had a covering. Because I wasn't a member of the church. They said if you had a covering, you wouldn't have gotten sick. I said, I was a member of a church, you know, it was years ago, and I had gotten sick then.
Right.
With a so-called covering. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, that's a yoke of bondage, and it's trying to keep us loyal to organizations and not
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
See that?
Amen.
Let's keep going, Sister King.
Okay. For I testify again to every man who is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace.
You see that? So he says, mm-hmm. again, we read that in Galatians 3. In verse 3, he said, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised. If you compromise and say, okay, let's go through this circumcision, let's go through this. And I believe the Apostle Paul, because he talks about it on one occasion, how they went through circumcision just to prove some things to the James in the church when they brought in question about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised. Paul had to go to a council and all this stuff because the Jewish system felt that Gentiles need to be circumcised. See this? The Apostle Paul had to face all this, and he was trying to, you know, get them to see it's not right. So if they would have submitted themselves to circumcision and said they tried to hold on to Christ as well, they would have become a debtor. Again, we saw that, put themselves under the curse of the law. So when you put yourself under the law, he says you have been brought to naught, separated from Christ, you who are being justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. See that?
Wow.
Grace, remember, is God in us to do and be everything for us. Remember, he's dispensing his life, the life of Christ, the resurrected life of Christ, in and through us as we're terminated. So if this is a new covenant ministry that we should point people to. When I go to organizations and religious stuff, instead of submitting myself under Christ, I'm separated from him. And now I'm trying to justify myself by law, and I've fallen from his grace, God dispensing the light, his life, the triune God in and through me to accomplish his will, his life in me. Remember, the purpose of the divine life in us is to, remember, we're fallen. Even as Christians, our nature, all those things were fallen and corrupted. So the purpose of Christ is to terminate the negative aspects of the fall so that he can uplift my fallen spirit, my fallen soul, and this body. And the way he ultimately brings to conclusion the body is through glorification. I should put on an incorrupt, when he's complete with this thing and we're taking out, then I get an incorruptible body. You see this? Salvation is a three-part. It affects me in all three areas of my being. And rarely do we go in and allow God to get past our mind, our will, and our emotions. He comes in our spirit. He comes in and we're reconnected to the Godhead. But he has to settle down. You see that in Ephesians. Make his abode. And this is where we have to allow it. And sometimes the discipline God uses, sometimes it seems difficult. God used this discipline with these Judaizers so that Apostle Paul could preach to them, but as well as to us. Had they not encountered that, we wouldn't have this teaching today.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, you are fallen from grace. Keep going all the way through 7, please.
Okay. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love.
Okay, I'm going to have you stop right there, Sister Kim. So he said, I'm going to read it and expand it. It says, for we by the Spirit out of faith eagerly await the hope of righteousness. See, you see how important faith is?
Mm-hmm.
Because he told us that just shall live by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, not by emotions, not by cleverness, not by our own head knowledge, not our intellect apart from Christ, but it's out of faith, trust, confidence, and use it to substantiate what we don't see. That's the hope that's produced, and we become righteous, the hope of righteousness. He says, for in Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but it's faith that avails, and it operates through love. As we come to grow and to know Christ, go back to your first love, faith grows. It avails. You see, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, when we see God in his glory, remember, it is because of his glory that faith is ignited in us. When we can see him in his glory, when I can see the world making schemes and plans and doing things, but then we come in through faith, and things may look grim and dim, but by faith, trusting in you, Lord, I put it in your hands, and I love you even if I have to go through this. Guess what? Faith avails because it's operating through my love towards him and his love towards me. Y'all see this?
Yes. Yes.
We should be, and grace is the enjoyment of Christ even in difficulty.
That's right. Amen.
See that? Grace grows, and it doesn't matter. This is why the Hebrew boys could go through the fiery furnace and not be shaken by the consequences of it. It says, love is related to our appreciation of Christ. Without such an appreciation, faith cannot operate. So people around here come talking about faith. Oh, yeah, I have faith. I know the Lord's going to do it. But is it faith that operates by your love and appreciation for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not loving and appreciating Christ, I doubt that it's faith, true faith, because faith cannot operate. True faith can't operate without the love and appreciation of Christ.
Amen.
It says the hearing of faith awakens our loving appreciation, like we talked about the diamond and the pearl. And the more we love the Lord, the more faith operates to bring us into the riches, the profit of all of the all-inclusive spirit. When I just think about when I was sick and when doctors couldn't help and nobody could help, and just like I'm sure the woman with the issue of blood, when she reached out, she saw, you know, when you see when the Lord heals, your appreciation grows because you knew that there was nothing and nobody that could do anything for you.
Amen.
And so, see, when God moves in our lives, it should cause us to appreciate him all the more, and that the faith should grow. So when we're encountering problems, these things, we stay under the weight of the trial because we love him. And I know that all things are working together for the good of them that what? Love God and called according to his purposes. Y'all see that?
Amen.
So grace is just simply our enjoyment of Christ. As God dispensed the life of Christ in us, he teaches us to love him. Our love for him through faith grows, and it doesn't matter what we're going through. The consequences we leave in his capable hands because of our love for him. So it says, the hearing of faith awakens our love and appreciation, and the more we love the Lord, the more faith operates to bring us into the riches, the profit of the all-inclusive spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 7, Sister Kim.
You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?
Okay. So in the expanded Greek, it says, you were running well. Who hindered you that you would not believe and obey the truth? Not the doctrine, but the reality in Christ, as preached to the Galatians by the apostles. See, they were running well. So were the Hebrew Christians. But somebody cut in on their race. And he says, who hindered you that you would not believe and obey the truth? See that? You and I have to turn our face like flint away from everything that will pull us away or distract us from Christ, running this race, looking to Christ. I'm going to let y'all finish reading that on your own time in Galatians, but we're going to turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. I got a few more minutes. Any questions or comments while we're going back over to chapter 12? Now, verse 15 falls in line with what we were just talking about with Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 5. Let's start there in verse 15. Sister Cherry, you got that? Okay.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble, and thereby many be defiled.
I'm sorry, did we skip verse 14?
I believe we did. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to 14. And we'll hit it.
Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Okay, with God, holiness is his holy nature. With us, holiness is our sanctification, our being separated unto God. See that? So God, holiness is God's holy nature, but with us, holiness is our sanctification. We don't have a holy nature apart from God. So it's sanctification, or our being separated unto God. See that? And by being separated from the world unto God, it allows him to impart his nature to us through this process of being terminated so that divine life can come forth and resurrect us. So the implication here is that while we are pursuing peace with all men, we must pay attention to the matter of sanctification before God. Our pursuing of peace with all men must be balanced by our sanctification before God. Our being separated unto God, without which no one will see the Lord and have fellowship with him. So when you go back and look at these Hebrew Christians, they were compromising peace. They wanted peace with their fellow brethren. So they were compromising so they could have peace and so that the persecution would stop. And therefore, by compromising, they were avoiding the process of God's nature, sanctification. That had stopped. So by compromising with man to have a form of peace, they were forfeiting God's nature through sanctification from being imparted into their lives. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
They you know, they may have said, okay, let's just go on, okay, and participate in this ritual, this sacrifice. And what they were putting off was God sanctifying them or imparting his holiness in the inward man just for the sake of having peace with all men. True peace, you see, we have to go on and be balanced between peace and holiness. So it says here in the notes, it says the implication is that while we are pursuing peace with all men, we must also pay attention to the matter of holiness before God. We should not attempt to have peace with others without first having holiness. Peace without holiness means compromise. We do not want such a compromising peace. We want the peace that is the product of holiness. So you've had many Christians who compromise in order to keep the peace. And eventually there was no peace among them.
Mm-hmm.
So outwardly they compromise about many things. And you got this today in the world. You see the church is compromising with the world. We're caving to this gay agenda, homosexuality agenda. You know, we call them gender loving and all this stuff. And we're embracing this. And I saw, I think last week or so, Carlton Pearson passed away, but he had a damnable heresy which said that nobody would die and go to hell, and God loved us all enough, even the gay, and he called it the universal church, where he just embraced all of the world, everything and everybody, all their sin and whatever, and God would not send them to hell. When he first came out with it, it was appalling. But you mm-hmm. notice over time, it was embraced by many in the church. So mm-hmm. peace was compromised, and there was no holiness mm-hmm. in that. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, outwardly they compromised about so many things, but inwardly they were fighting with one another. So it's the same today. If elders in a certain church, local church, are not at peace with one another, a lot of times it's because there's no true, they've been compromising. But when we mm-hmm. care for holiness or for being in the Holy of Holies, that's what holiness is. It's being in God's presence. Right now, God is in the Holy of Holies. We're here on earth, but this race is about running towards, we have to look away from everything that distracts. We are headed towards the Holy of Holies, which is the spirit, the Ark of the Covenant. In there was the law of the tables of the law of the tables, the commandments. And that is the law of the spirit of life. That's in us. In Christ Jesus, and as we set our face like flint towards where Christ is in the Holy of Holies and allow his process of sanctification to take place, then God makes us holy. We will have true peace, not a compromised peace. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be staggering in the faith to keep peace with our opposers, but eventually lose our holiness. And this is what we have. A lot of people have been compromising in church because they wanted a position, they want a title, they want, this is a family church, and mm-hmm. they're not going on to pursue Christ.
Amen.
Any questions? Amen. Any questions? I've got 2 minutes. Which one we stop at? Verse 15.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Okay. Now it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall away from the grace of God. Didn't we just read that in Galatians 3:5, chapter 5?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. here the same thing was taking place. It says, the grace of God came to us through Christ, John 1:14 and verse 17. Hence, it is also the grace of Christ, 2 Corinthians 13, 14 and chapter 12, verse 9. In our experience, this grace is just Christ himself. Galatians 6:18, 2 Timothy 4:22. I'm reading these scriptures so you can go back and study what I just said. When we fall from grace, we are brought to naught or separated from Christ. And we just read Galatians 5 and 4. So regarding this matter, Paul warned the churches of Galatia, which were in the same danger as the Hebrew believers, not to be separated from Christ by turning aside to the law of the Jewish religion, lest they fall away from the grace of God, which is Christ himself. We should not fall away from grace, but should have grace, and that's verse 28, and be confirmed by grace in chapter 13, 9, and stand in grace, Romans 5 and 2. So both Galatians and Hebrews close with the blessing of grace, Galatians 6:18 and Hebrews 13:25. Now, I just read those scriptures so you can, on your own time, read that because I'm going to have to, we're done tonight. But we'll pick up with verse 15 and finish that about this root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And this root of bitterness was the Judaizers coming in with their damnable heresy, okay? And it caused them to leave the right path, the straight path, and to become lame and out of joint. This is why you and I have to be careful with these doctrines and with those teaching certain things that are contrary to the ministry of Christ. This is why we can't forsake the assembling of the saints. And what it's talking about, the assembling under the new covenant ministry, as explained according to Paul in the scriptures. When we listen to doctrines contrary to the ministry of Christ, according to the new covenant, then it causes us to become out of joint or lame with the body. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, God's goal is to have a body without spot or wrinkle. And this body can only be created or built up through the process of redemption. And this redemption is the crucifixion that has to physically, which we have to be subjected to in our day-to-day living. We have to be nailed, crucified with Christ. We have to deny self, pick up the cross, and follow daily. Amen? So that's what this new covenant ministry is all about. Under Judaism, it was just about rituals and going through the motion and putting themselves under external works and the law and becoming under the curse of the law, whereas the new covenant ministry was by faith, the faith of Abraham. Amen? So on that note, mm-hmm. I'm going to close with those on the line. If you'll hold on, we'll take questions and comments. And we pray that what we said tonight will bless you and strengthen you in your walk. And so until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.